something really interesting about this psalm, and I'll just go ahead and blow the whole thing for you, is that it just speaks of God's perfect protection of us. And that's really it. But with that comes a lot of questions and a lot of maybe some confusion. And we'll kind of get into that as we go. I will interject some of these things here. So Psalm 91, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your protection of us. We thank you that you take care of us and Lord, that we are that treasure that you protect and hold close to you. And I just pray that you would help us in all the battle and all our difficulty to believe you, that it's really, at all of it's going to be all right, and maybe even way better than all right. So we praise you and we thank you for being in our lives and covering us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. I'll just go ahead and read it through verse 6. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. The first thing we got to look at is just obviously there are conditions to all of this, and it is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And talk about that dwelling, and that is to be there, to abide, to stay there. And that is to seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you know, it's interesting thing is that we don't feel a real need in our hearts to do that until things start to trouble us, and still we start getting afraid of the things around us that are coming at us or that we imagine coming at us. And so it begins with that, like, hey, you know what? There's a wonderful place. It's a secret place. It's with the Lord. And where he knows everything but still holds on to you and protects you. I say still because if he knows everything about us, then he knows stuff that other people don't know. And he knows stuff in our hearts that even we don't know. And he is so gracious, and he will hold us and even favor us. And so abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, I think that as we get into this thing about covering you with his feathers, the shadow is the shadow of his wings, like an eagle that would protect its young. Some look at this as a shadow of the wings of, and they guess that it's the wings of the cherubim, as the mercy seat for the ark was made with the two angels facing one another with their wings touching. And that when we're abiding in him, we will have this covering of these wings. And so, yeah, either way, I mean, it's just a picture anyway of God's protection and how we don't need to be afraid of anything. And so anyway, this whole psalm, it just talks about how we're never going to get hurt if that's where we go. Now, if this were the only thing you had in your Bible, this psalm, you would believe that by coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never experience pain again. That you won't, even as you get here, I love this, in verse 12, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You won't even stub your toe if you get saved and make sure you're hanging with God. Now, I don't know how much of this to blow before we, you know, because, well, let's just say this. There are many doctrines out there, or maybe just one doctrine in many forms, that state that if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and you have enough faith, then you won't suffer from disease. And here it even says, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. That speaks of disease. You don't have to worry about that because it won't touch you. It won't. No peril will touch you because he's covering you with his feathers. In his wings you're taking refuge. And if you give your life to Jesus, then you don't have to deal with sickness. Also, you won't experience pain, and nothing bad will ever happen to you again. And there are doctrines that actually, there's people that actually believe this stuff. And what's so sad about it is they have to go about their lives pretending all the time. And that's a hard way to walk with God. But the devil loves this doctrine so much because what this doctrine does, it either when you get sick or something bad happens to you, the thought is, oh, I'm not dwelling enough in the secret place. I don't have enough faith. And my faith isn't carrying me through this. Man, I need more faith because if I had more faith, I wouldn't get sick. And God's punishing me because I just don't have enough faith. And so they lay a heavy trip on themselves. The other thought that the devil would put in your head if you get sick or something falls apart is that God has failed you and that God isn't so God-ish at all. And you know, the enemy will sit on your shoulder and just say, whoa, boy, look at all those promises God gave you and now look at you. What kind of God is that? And, you know, and this is why we take the scriptures and we compare it to scripture. And we can figure this out. One thing that you got to ask yourself when you read this psalm is how many of the characters in scripture never suffered? Well, there's... don't forget, you know, it wasn't just Job who suffered. In fact, if you look at the whole Job book, the whole Job incident, when his friends came to him, when he, you know, he had lost everything. He'd lost his family. All that was left was his wife, and she was a real complainer. He lost his business. He lost his health, and there his friends show up and they begin to tell him, well, obviously, if you'd be more faithful to God, this wouldn't happen to you because this stuff only happens to people who walk in sin. So you're not telling us something, Job. And that's what somebody might believe when you just look at Psalm 91 and leave the rest of the Bible out of it. And so they said, you're not walking with God. God knows, you know, that you're a real loser and he's just paying you for this. Well, after chapter of all of this, God finally swings the door open and he says to these three guys that what you're saying about me is not true. You guys don't know what you're talking about. And so it's really important that you and I first understand that if you live on earth, you're going to suffer sometimes. And life is just hard. Well, then what in the wide world of sports is this writer of this psalm saying that hey, you know what? If you just dwell with God, no problems. You're not going to have any problems at all. Well, let's just go ahead and blow the whole thing out for you now. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus explains to his disciples that which would happen in 70 AD and also what's going to happen in the end times. And that is that, you know, father and mother will deliver you up to death. People are going to drag you into courts. People are going to kill you. But, Jesus says, not a hair of your head will be harmed. You will not lose one hair of your head. In other words, you will not suffer any harm. But he just said that they're going to torture you and kill you. And so we need to understand that who we are is what's inside. And this is who God is holding together. And that when we suffer in this world, we know that the Lord is covering us. And we know that he is protecting our very soul, who we are. And keeping us for that day. Now, in the Old Testament, the pictures are all within the battles and within the pestilences and all of the difficulties that they go on with war. But the fact is, yeah, many of the Israelites lost their lives in these battles. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Now, this is an interesting thing, too, because here's another angle at this, is that God does protect and preserve this physical life for as long as he so chooses. In that I know a lot of guys that have been to war and have seen gnarly battles, and they still, you know, and I talk with these guys, and even today, with tears in their eyes, they say, I don't know how I survived that other than the very hand of God. And that God would protect one man as he would watch hundreds and thousands fall all around him. And you say, why me? You say, why didn't God protect them? I don't know, but you better give glory to God because he saved your behind. And it's just true. And so God does protect us in those ways. But if you are walking straight with God in every way, fellowship with him, intimacy with him, sometimes things just fall apart. And sometimes when you're not walking intimately with him, things will just go great. But there's something God is working on that is so much more important than all of the things around us here. And that is the eternal. And so we have to look at this in a spiritual manner. Because you have made, this is great, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Well, another great way to understand that this is definitely not what we want it to be, is the fact that Satan, when Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan tempted Jesus with jumping off of the pinnacle of the temple. He said, "I'm going to just come on up here, and I'll give you a little nudge, and then you can show everybody that you won't get hurt, because the Word of God says." This is Satan quoting Scripture. That he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. That in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. According to the Scriptures, Satan says, you can jump off a top of a building and you won't even stub your toe. So do it. Show everybody. But Jesus said, it is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So what we do know about this, as we look at the rest of Scripture, is that, just because God promises our protection doesn't mean that we go out and jump in front of cars to prove it. This is foolishness. But it doesn't seem to matter to a lot of people. As I would say, especially in the Ozarks area, I think this is where it all takes place. You know, because at the end of Mark, Jesus says that, and those of you who believe, these signs will follow you. You'll get bit by snakes and it won't hurt. You'll handle serpents and, you won't be hurt. You'll drink poison. It won't hurt you. And so there they are. They took those couple of things Jesus said and they have entire church services where they're handling snakes, poisonous snakes, and they'll actually drink things that, and it's like, why are you doing this? Because it proves that we belong to Jesus. He said these things won't harm us. No, they're doing exactly what Satan would want them to do. Because what happened was in Acts chapter 27, that's when when Paul was gathering up the sticks and a snake latched onto him. And then the native said, oh, goodness, well, he's going down. But he shook off the snake back into the fire and he just kept gathering up sticks and nothing happened to him. And even Paul was just, he was a fulfillment of that, basically a prophecy that Jesus made. Well, saying, hey, a snake will bite you, it won't hurt you. But notice what Paul was doing. Paul was serving these people, serving the Lord, and he wasn't looking for snakes. And so, people are really weird. They'll find all kinds of reasons to tempt the Lord, to try to prove. And you've seen those specials. 60 Minutes does specials on those churches in the Ozarks with the snakes and everything. And they're talking old Zeke, Zeke's all, he's all malformed because they had to do several surgeries on him to suck the venom out of him after he got bit by these snakes. You know, he says, well, I've lost 6 family members, got bit by snakes, and they didn't have the faith, and so they died. Do we have a church of fools or what? And so we don't take the scriptures and say, wow, this psalm says this, therefore, I'm just going to run around and just be so silly and foolish. And it's not going to matter. Now, having said that, just as I brought up Paul, he was serving and a snake bit him and then he was okay. I do believe with all my heart, back to that thing. God will protect you, but it's totally up to God, and He will protect you from a poisonous snake if you should get bit by a poisonous snake. But also, notice, He will give His angels charge over you. There are angels everywhere, and we have, Jesus says, talking about children, their angels see the face of God. All the children, they have guardian angels around them. And yes, there are angels. We don't talk about angels much because the Bible's not about angels. And people like angels. They love that show, Touched by an Angel, because it was like sort of about God. But, people like angels but avoid the Bible because angels are these spiritual things that help you, but they never speak to you about your sin. It's just, they're just watching out for you. But when you bring yourself to the Word of God and you bring yourself to Jesus, then you have to face your own sins. And then God deals with those and then you're set free. But meanwhile, there's a lot of people, they just love their angels. They got their bumper stickers, never drive faster than your angel can fly. They got little angels all over the place. They got, oh, I love angels. I collect little angels and stuff because I know they're all over the place. Fact, they are all over the place. And God has them watching out over us. And I believe it's got to be that every one of us got bailed out by an angel at one time or another in our lives. We had to have. I think some of you even have stories about that, Like, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I was still alive, you know. But we see the angels all over the scriptures. I think 2 Kings chapter 6 is one of the greatest examples of this. And the fact of God's angels looking out after us. And that is when the king of Syria came in to look for Elisha. Because he heard that Elisha was the one that kept ratting him out, you know. Always telling the Syrians' plan to the king of Israel. And so the Syrians kept getting foiled. And he says, that's it. And they found out it was Elisha doing this stuff. And they brought chariots and armies and all kinds of battle gear. They came and they surrounded Elisha's house when Gehazi, Elisha's servant, said, oh man, we're dead. This is it. Oh no, what are we going to do? Oh no, oh no, oh no. And Elisha prayed a short prayer. God, could you please open his eyes and let him see? And Gehazi, the Lord opened Gehazi's eyes, and he saw God's chariots, the angels, all over the place. And that regardless of whatever's coming after us, God's got so much more protecting us. And so that way we don't need to be afraid of the things that may happen to us. We see Michael the archangel. We see Gabriel. We see even in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. And that's something, that they would even help, should I say, the Savior of the world. And we see the angel taking Peter out of prison in Acts chapter 12. And so angels are everywhere, and sometimes they can manifest themselves into humans. As it tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, yet to entertain strangers, because you don't know, maybe you'll be entertaining an angel. That's weird. Now, as I'd said, I think that angels will bail us out every now and then, and we don't know it. And I think that there are times in our lives that we got bailed out by angels and we'll never know it. Maybe until we're dead and we're with the Lord. And then, you know, maybe for fun, we'll sit around and talk about what happened in our lives and say, look at this part right here. See, the angel came in and bailed you out and you never knew it. I think about the grandkids, the twins, you know, they're about going for something, and they're about ready to fall on something, and we just yank it out of the way, and they never saw us yank it out of the way, and then boom, they never knew they were even in any danger. Why? Because they just go like this. This is all they do, you know. And I think that we go about our lives like that. And there's angels just taking stuff out of our way and just bailing us out all the time, and we just never saw it. Other times you may have seen it, and I think I'd told you, I always tell this. No, I haven't told it in a while, and I'm going to tell it tonight just because I like it, and maybe I need to hear it. But I got visited by an angel. It's a true story. I believe with all my heart it was an angel sent from God. And as it says that, you know, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. This angel came to me in a time, not when I was about to stub my toe, but I was so desperately discouraged. Amy was just born, and I'm working at this Christian bookstore, a little tiny Christian bookstore in Poway, California, for, you know, $4.50 an hour, $5. I think I was making a whopping $5 an hour part-time to try to provide. And I didn't know what we were going to do. And I spent a lot of days just flipping out and saying, where are you, God? Where are you, God? And that's while I was flipping out one day, standing there alone at the cash register in that little store, a little guy walked in. He was a little Mexican guy. This, and he just, you know, and it was so funny because he irritated me immediately. I just like, oh, what's this guy? And he walks in and he comes over and he's And he asked me a question. His accent was so thick that I could hardly understand him. I go, what? What? He said, do you have any Carmen tapes? Oh, Carmen? He said, yeah. I go, yeah, over there. Go over there. Leave me alone. And he goes over there and he's just looking. And then he comes back. And he sits there at the counter. He stands there at the counter. He just looks at me. And he says, you know what? Know what? He said, somebody stole my bike. I'm thinking, why does everybody tell me their problems? And I said, wow, what a bummer. He says, I don't own very much. In fact, everything I own was on that bike. He says, I come up from Mexico and I work and I send money home. But now, I don't have anything. You know, I think, how am I supposed to respond to this? And he says, but you know what? Maybe the person who stole it, maybe he needed it more than I do. He says, I'll be okay. I go, wow. I said, right on. Oh, by the way, he told me his name before that. His name was Rudy. Anyway, he kind of shrugged and then he turned around and just started walking out the door. And you're saying, how do you think this guy was an angel? It was so cool. So he's walking out, he stops, and he looks at the wall, and there are all the little, you know, what are those things? This art. It's called art. And, you know, and one of the things that, and I actually have a little thing in my office like this, and somebody actually got it for me after I told this story a few years ago, but my favorite painting, and maybe some of you are familiar with this painting, it's called Forgiven. And it is a young man, and he's dirty, he's wearing a purple like a t-shirt, that's all, and he's got a big old mallet in this hand and a stake in the other hand, and he has collapsed from exhaustion. And behind him, Jesus is holding him up. And you see the scars on Jesus. You don't really see Jesus. You just see his hands holding him up. And here he is just... And it's just called Forgiven. It's beautiful. Some of you are familiar with this. And Rudy stopped. And he just stared at that one. Just stared at it. And then he says, I like that one. I said, yeah, me too. It's my favorite. He says, yeah. He goes, you know, Jesus holds us up that way. And I said, yeah. And he looked at me and he leaned into me and with a finger, even when you don't feel it. And he walked out. I knew God had sent me an angel. And maybe he was just a person who suddenly somehow knew just to say that to me. But I knew that the Lord had to hold me up at that time. And I wasn't going to believe him. And so God says, all right, Rudy, go ahead and be a person. Go into that store and talk to Kevin. You know, I wonder if Rudy is assigned to me, you know, and he's sitting here listening to the story. I know some of you are getting like uncomfortable. Kevin, you're getting weird. Hey, look, I did not choose to be visited by Rudy. I did not choose this. And when you look at the scripture saying be hospitable to everybody because you might entertain an angel, and when we see the angel releasing Peter and stuff, God will send us angels. Don't go looking for them. Just live your life and seek the Lord. But we can thank God for the angels. And some of you are saying, okay, if angels are keeping guard over us, where was my angel when? Well, God probably just said, nope, he needs to deal with this. And so you and I have hurt ourselves at times. Or maybe the angels aren't as perfect as God, and God says, "Okay, I want you to watch him for a while. Make sure to watch him." And the angels just turn their head for 1 second and go, "Oh no, I'm going to get busted." But we're being taken care of, gang. I believe that is the whole point of this. God watches out for us. He has angels in charge of us. He is our perfect protection. And because he has set his love upon me, therefore... Oh, now all of a sudden God is talking, all right? This is God talking. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And boy, will he show us long life. How's eternal for long? That's pretty long. But notice in verse 15, we have that little hint that we are talking not about a life free from pain or a life free from trouble, but we are going to have trouble in our lives. And the Lord will answer us in our trouble. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. And I think it is a matter of you and me coming to grips with the fact that this is the temporary place. And we just got to deal with what we got to deal with here. But we keep our eyes on the Lord and we keep believing that he is good, going to him, dwelling in that place, in prayer, in quiet, the hardest thing to do. And in that quiet, just coming to grips with the fact that he's protecting us and he is growing us up on the inside through all the trouble, through all of the pestilence, through all of the plague. And as he covers us with his feathers, I will say this, this applies to believers. This isn't for everybody. It is for those who dwell in the secret place, the Most High. And I think about Jesus in Luke chapter 19 as he looked out over Jerusalem as he came in on the donkey and everybody's cheering and he's crying. And he said, "How I wanted to gather you up as a hen, mother hen, and take you under my wings, but you would have none of it." You wouldn't. And as a result of the fact that they did not come to him to be under the shadow of his wings, they suffered the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And so we see, you know, all of these pictures of God, how wonderful that we could get these ideas and pictures of not him as, you know, as an eagle or even a chicken. Can you believe that Jesus would say, you know, I feel like a mother hen? He was just saying, just all I can care about, all I can think about are my little chicks. That's all I can think about and how I wanted to protect you. And so I say that we just need to remember to keep the Lord at the forefront. And we're going to be okay when the trouble comes. And not a hair of our head will be lost. And though the world may destroy us on the outside, the Lord continues to renew us on the inside. And we'll put off this tent and we'll get that building from God. So yes, he will keep us from all harm. Father, thank you for your word, and I just pray that you would help us to just be in that place and to be at peace because you are good. Lord, we don't need to be afraid because you will cover us. We ask you to help us to keep our eyes on you always and your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, for covering us this far. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.